Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the AI Training Podcast. I have a very special guest today. This is Haley Wilson, the fairy godmother of AI. Amazing name, by the way. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love the prop. I always like to see the wand come out.
I'm very serious about being a fairy godmother. And have you ever known a fairy godmother who doesn't have a wand? I'm legit. I actually picked this up at the Marketing AI Institute MayCon conference last summer. So it does have its roots in AI.
Amazing. So happy to have you on the show and really looking forward to learning from you and having just a fun conversation. Maybe for those who haven't visited you on LinkedIn yet, why don't you give yourself a little bit of an introduction on who you are and what you do?
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks again for having me here. I came up with the term of fairy godmother of AI because I felt that it best represented what I do. For the past year, I've been heavily involved with building AI content and AI communities. I actually started my own business in November of 2022, having come from a very heavily crisis communications, corporate communications, media background. And so I have a long history of explaining the technical and often a little bit scary into snackable terms, digestible things that people can actually live with. So for me, going into communicating AI and building that content out in the communities was just the natural next step and a really fun challenge. So what that has involved is at first I wanted to be kind of the AI expert. Then I started looking around and seeing fabulous people like you, Mark, who are doing such a great job with doing that and educating and talking about real practical applications for AI, that I decided that where I could actually use my skill set best was in creating communities. So we being my whole community, it's not Haley Wilson's community, it's the Impact community, AI MPACT. We had our inaugural virtual event back in November. And as a result, we have lots of different things going on, which I'm hoping we can chat about in this podcast today. But really, at the end of the day, it's about building out an amazing community of humans so that they can use this technology to empower not only their work, but their lives. So I'm excited. I'm just living the life. It's pretty fun. It's fun to be the fairy godmother.
Amazing. It's great to have the fairy godmother of AI on the show. And yeah, let's talk a bit about that event. So the event was, I forget the dates exactly, but it was a multi-day event. Can you tell us a bit about the event and lessons learned?
Oh my gosh. It was a three-day virtual event. It was November 7th through the 9th. So I guess the very first lesson learned is that 3 days for a virtual event is just insanely long. Even by the end of the first day, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm the one putting this event on, but my brain is already overloaded with information. So for those of you who are putting on virtual events, just word to the wise, don't be overly ambitious. Try to get what you can in one day. But the event was pretty amazing because we had more than 50 speakers. And we had marketers, we had neuroscientists, we had philosophers. It was really incredible, very diverse group of thinkers and a global audience, as well as our speakers. And we did this all on a really innovative platform called Swapcard. And actually, all of that content is still available. And I'll share a link on how the folks may want to access that content. There's well over 70 sessions. And we really dove into not only just the practical applications for professionals and business owners, but also the philosophical and understanding, like, just because you can, does that mean we should? And Impact is a big part of our community is about doing our due diligence and having the tough conversations. This is probably rooted in my crisis communications background and just learning that the best disinfectant is sunlight. So let's shine a light on the things that scare us. Let's shine a light on the things that we really do need to talk about, because AI, like any tool, is value neutral. You can do really wonderful things. Return voices back to people who lost their voice. There's a a great example of a paraplegic who is able to walk now because of use of AI. A lot of amazing things we can do. There's also some not so great things. So a big part of what we do is to have those discussions and not leave it into the realm of the Sam Altmans in Congress and the EU, although they certainly have their importance and their place. But we believe that we need to have a seat at that table as well. And the best way to be heard, Mark, is by joining with numbers, right? Everyone has a seat at our table.
Amazing.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Very cool. And sorry, the Wi-Fi sometimes sticks a little, especially right now. The recording will probably be fine, but just wanted to let you know. In case I freeze, I can still hear you and it'll probably come out clean in the wash. Let's talk a little bit about some of the speakers you had at the event. I know there was a huge panel. How many people did you have sharing their wisdom?
Oh my gosh. We had upwards of a little over 50 speakers total over the 3 days. We had several panels that were with marketers because we originally had a pretty intense group of marketers who were really getting involved in AI and the generative AI world in particular. When you think about its ability to create content and visuals, the marketing group was particularly engaged on generative AI early on last year. So we had folks like the founder of Lately AI, Kate Bradley Sharness, and she's one of my personal heroes. She's been doing AI for at least a decade. And Lately AI has been around for, I want to say 7 years, but don't quote me on that. And being able to hear from her what it must feel like. Now, everybody's starting to talk about AI and everyone calls themselves an AI expert. So to have someone like Kate, who really is one and who's been talking about AI for a long time, it was really neat to get her insight. And again, although all of these interviews and these sessions are available still on the platform, so we'll try to get maybe some of your listeners on the platform so they can benefit from that content. We also had folks like Kurt Doty. He also has a podcast. He runs Realm IQ. He just launched a new newsletter on Substack. And he really looks at working with businesses on implementing AI and using it wisely and responsibly. And he's a really interesting guy. He has more than 30 years of branding experience. In fact, he is the one that created our Impact logo and our logo for our Great Debate series. He's also a former NBC executive. So he has a lot of experience within the media world and content. Another person we had was Isar Mitis. I hope I'm saying his name right. Yeah, I remember. And he's a four-time CEO, former jet pilot. And one of these people that if you missed your cup of coffee that day, go have a conversation with Isar and that'll do you. He's just so energizing and exciting to talk to and has a really fantastic insight. And that's the thing to me, like the biggest takeaway, and I don't think it's like a big surprise, but it's these people, this community of AI adopters is just phenomenal. Not only are they just really brilliant, they're also incredibly kind. And even though this is our very first year, so I couldn't pay any speakers. And it was a little bit of a financial disaster on my part, but in terms of the community that we built and the content that we were able to put out there to make it more accessible to people, we knocked it out of the park. And so I'll take that financial exposure any day if that means the kind of good that we can put back out there. But yeah, you have 50 plus speakers from Germany, Italy, Switzerland, the UK, India, Australia, Japan, China, all of course, all out to the States, Mexico. I think we also had an Argentinian. And it's really, truly a global effort. And not a single one of them charged me or charged Impact to come in and share not only their time, their expertise, the hours of work and research that they've had to put in to gaining that expertise. And they did that to do a good thing, to get this information out there. Just like what you're doing, Mark. I mean, this is what we need to do. Reality is, in the next 2 to 3 years, if you touch a computer, whether it's at home or at work, your world is going to be a little different. Your workflows are going to change. Now, it's not a question of whether that transition will happen. It's a question of how it will happen. And you can either kind of come in for a nice landing where it's smooth and you have a long runway and everybody's good. You got your drinks, you're happy. Everything's phenomenal. Or you can do a little bit more like the poor Boeing 757, whatever it was in Alaska that had its door blown out and you're having to land like this. It's a choice. And I'll tell you, like years of crisis communications has taught, it's very much an emotional transition, right? It's a mindset you have to adopt. So that's a big part of what Impact is doing. And every single one of our community members and speakers and leaders, they have that ethos to go in. This is a humanitarian need that people need to be able to come to terms with this new technology and this new world that is right there on the horizon for us. And I'm really proud to be a part of that.
That's so cool. Wish I would have known about the event beforehand, but I hope to be part of the next one. If Absolutely. And when you do it again, what would you do different?
Great question. I would simplify. I guess it's probably not surprising as someone who called herself a fairy godmother and literally carries around a wand. I'm a go big kind of gal. So I do want to simplify a little bit, not necessarily have less speakers because I loved the amount and the volume of content. But I certainly wouldn't do a 3-day event. I would do more of a 1-day event, and we probably would do different tracks. We're looking at doing an event probably mid-April to late April. So if you want to be a speaker, let me know, Mark. But yeah, it's definitely, there were a lot of lessons learned. Some other things, one of the biggest things I learned, and this is a rookie mistake I learned, was that I think when you command the written word and you say your communications, which is my background, you get a little bit big for your britches sometimes, right? Where you think, marketing, I can do, that's just content creation and pretty images. Why can't I do that? So I definitely had a big humbling moment. And I'm not afraid to share that. I think it's important people should share their humbling moments. Otherwise, you've wasted it just on yourself. And I had to really learn that I am not a marketer. I am not a marketing professional. And one of the rookie mistakes I made as a non-marketing professional was didn't really know I was doing it this way, but I purchased through Seamless.ai, thinking it was AI assisted and that these people were okay with it. I was winding up kind of purchasing email lists and thinking that, as long as it's through AI and it's a high confidence level, then it'll be okay to send it. But as probably some of your listeners are screaming into the void right now, that was a very bad mistake. And I'll tell you why. Not only does it completely trash your domain, and it's very difficult to come back on once you've been marked as spam and on a blacklist, but it also really irritates and angers, rightfully, your main audience, the people that are receiving those emails. And if I really had sat down and thought about it, of course, people, even if your message and your product and your service is phenomenal, if you're just coming out of the blue and knocking on someone's door without their permission, their consent, it's not a good look, right? And so I really had to come back from that. It took me about 2 months to really fix that big error. And I regret doing it because I think when you make a mistake, there should be a level of regret. But I don't regret the lesson. And while there is this little shred of embarrassment I have about having to admit to this huge human frailty of mine, especially publicly like this on a podcast, I think it's important to be able to do that as a leader. And if I want to be authentic and I want people to be vulnerable with me, I have to be willing to share these stories. So that's where I am with it. I would not have done that. I also, early on, contracted, even before I got most of my other speakers, I contracted with a very large, she wasn't well known, but her price was $25,000. And at the time, I had big ambitions for impact. And so I said, yes, let's do it. And I contracted with her. And unfortunately, we were nowhere in the position to be paid to pay that in terms of our ticket sales. And again, I just a big thinker type person with I was very ambitious. And I thought it would be, this was me being very naive as a young businesswoman. I thought it would be a simple case of going to that person and saying, hey, look, I know we have a contract. Can we push this to the next year? I've already paid her a deposit. And I thought that she would be amenable to that, particularly since it's a virtual event, didn't require travel. And she was already booked to do another event that day. So there wasn't really a lot of damages. I was wrong. It was very wrong. And it surprised me. And she was legally correct. And we wound up having to pay her, even though she did not attend our event. And I'm a little hurt feelings about it. Not that it's business. I'm not allowed to have hurt feelings. But that was a big mistake on mine. So don't sign any contracts that you're not absolutely willing to fulfill, even if circumstances change. This was just a case of my alligator mouth overloading my hummingbird butt, as they say in the South. And so those were my biggest mistakes with impact. And I do think it had an impact on me as a person and me as my business. But like I said, even with all of that aside, and who doesn't have troubles their first year as a business entrepreneur, as an entrepreneur, I'm incredibly proud of the community that we've built. We have more than 200 people as a part of our impact community, and they're very engaged. We have a tester club that can be hired if you're a new developer or a business person and you want some quick feedback on your tool. These are product marketers. These are developers. These are neuroscientists, UI, UX experts. And so they give great feedback. We have a AI thought leadership roundtable every Thursday at 10 a.m., which we affectionately call the AI Avengers, where we have more cerebral conversations like, what's the impact on art for AI? And will AI's ability to create a beautiful thing in Midjourney take away from an artist who spends years learning how to do their art, their craft? And then we have the Great Debate Series, which is a formal structure, a debate where we actually tackle some of these big questions. And we have a team of eternal optimists who argue one way and a team of devil's advocates who argue the other way. And it's a good way for us to flesh out some of these big issues that AI raises. So it's a wonderful lesson, and I can't wait to write the book one day, which I will one of these days, I get a moment, to talk about some of the successes and failures of impact. I'm very open. There's not any like other secret little things that I hide. I think this is important as business people to be able to be open about the missteps that we've had and the successes that we enjoy.
Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing a bit of those hiccups along the way. One way to look at it is you got a $25,000 story, which
exactly right.
You can tell again and again. And anyone who's in business has made mistakes. That story you had about the email, I learned the lesson from a company I used to work for. But anyone that has sent emails to people who don't want them from their main domain hurts it. There is no way around it. There are ways to circumvent that. That's why if you see email coming into you from certain companies, they will use subdomains, which don't count, or a variation of their primary domain name. So those are lessons, right? We either learn them one way or another. It's not a big deal. I am so proud of you for the community you've built. And that's worth at least $25,000.
Oh.
So I wouldn't necessarily focus on, and I know you're not focused on it, but I'm sure there's still a bit of pain or resentment around making a mistake like that. And I've made my share. So I am right there with you. I wanted to ask you about these debates that you're having in the community. I love that you have the people that are assigned optimism and assigned pessimism, because I generally gravitate toward the optimistic side, just like in most things as an entrepreneur.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
A slightly optimistic bent towards, okay, this will work out because, you know,
yeah,
for what reasons, right? One of the ways that I've loved to use ChatGPT is to do SWOT analysis on any idea I have. So it gives me that little bit of perspective that I wouldn't normally have access to just from my default mode of thinking. So tell me a bit more about these debates you've been having with people on the positive and negative side.
Yeah, so we did our first one in October, and the theme was, or the question was, will AI save or destroy us? This is a very hyperbolic question, and frankly, the end result of that, it doesn't matter because the genie's out of the bottle. However, we purposefully make it hyperbolic. And it was interesting when we're recruiting for both sides, because pretty much everybody can relate to either side. Very few people are totally eternal optimists who think AI is the most amazing thing. And there's very few people on the other side who are like, yeah, this is like the worst thing that's ever happened to humanity. And so it was challenging at first because people are like, I'm worried if I come out like on that side, does that look like I am saying that Haley Wilson is an eternal optimist? And so it took a moment for the team to say, no, there is a degree of this that is performative, and it's theater with a purpose. And a big part of my personal mission, this again rooted in communications, is to really show people by example, not just my own example, but those of my community, that you can disagree without being disagreeable. And it is possible to hold an idea in your hand and look at it without keeping it. And so that's really what the great debate is. And so it's a full hour event. I moderate it unless I can find someone else that'd be willing to do it. And usually beforehand, the two members of either team, they will get together and divide and conquer on their points. Just like at school, right? Remember when everyone had debate class or they did a debate club? It's very similar. And we try to keep very strictly to the times of 2-3 minutes for your opening statement, 2-3 minutes for your cross examination, and then you get a closing statement. And it's one to make sure that we maintain a certain decorum throughout the event, but also make sure that we can cover a lot of ground. And then the following hour is devoted to diving deep and having more of a casual conversation. And the audience can get involved. They usually chat and say, I liked your point about X. Can you tell me a little bit more about some of the things that have led you to that conclusion? And so it's a really great way of having literally public discourse, which I think is sorely and sadly lacking in our community and our society. And I do see that the AI community, and I think it's partially because they're a bunch of Uber nerds, and I'm an Uber nerd, and I say that totally affectionately, that it is just in our natures to want to do this. But I think that, especially since we're in a big election year in the US, the more that we can show this as an example and that it is totally possible to disagree with people without being an asshole about it, without them hating you, that we need to have more of this. And if I wasn't so completely heads down and busy with the AI stuff, which I love, I would love to get into more general topics. So maybe one day, probably not going to try to do that in the middle of an election year, just because everyone's so heated as it is. But I definitely, that's a big goal of mine, to try to teach people, guide people along of having tricky conversations, contentious conversations, without losing your cool. And so that's a big part of what the Great Debate Series is all about. And we'll have another one. I believe the next one's in early February. I'm going to try to get two in. And if there's anyone that is, any of your listeners or Mark, if you're interested in participating in the Great Debate, I'm not terribly picky about who, because I want the more diverse voices as possible. So I've got a nice list running of people who want to participate. And if I get enough, then we can do multiple events. So if that's something that someone's listening at home and says, man, that'd be something I like to do, it's really simple. It's over a Zoom call. We have just a couple of meetings before the Great Debate, and we have a heck of a whale of a time doing it. It's really fun. So let me know.
And what's your website while we're here?
If you just go to www.impactevent.com, you'll find everything you need to know about us. You can also go to my LinkedIn page, or you can email me, hwilson@impactevent.com. That's AIMPACT event.com. And I'm happy to engage you, invite you to any of our roundtables or anything like that. We're very inclusive. We try to be. And I'd love to see more diversity. I would say that. It's an interesting awesome. Challenge, but yeah.
Are these live events? What's the format?
So for the Great Debate, those are live events. And what we do, it's pretty simple. It's a Zoom event, but I use the LinkedIn Live third-party service. So even though the Great Debaters and the moderator is on Zoom, it's being live streamed to LinkedIn Live, and we can collect audience comments and questions. And then we do offer a Zoom link to our audience if they want to join us in the Zoom call for the second hour of conversation. They don't tend to do that very much. People seem to prefer texting through comments, and that's fine. We're just happy to have the participation. Even if you're just lurking, we're really happy with that. That's great to us too.
Very cool. From everything you've been learning from all these incredible people you've connected with about AI, what three things stand out for you?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say the first is, remember, this is still early days for generative AI in particular. And ChatGPT is wonderful. I use it all the time. But it is only as good as maybe a college freshman intern who knows just enough to be dangerous. So I think that's an important thing to point out, because I think there's some people I've talked to who've used AI, used ChatGPT in particular. They expect it to be either amazing or crappy. And it's really neither. It's right in the middle of that. And it's a lot of that is about how you use it. So I would say level set your expectations, not just for ChatGPT, but any AI tool. Ask AI is a really interesting search engine. You can actually add it to your Google Chrome. And it gets like the main needs for a search engine using AI. But is it going to be able to answer really complex things like, is there a God? Questions that involve that. No, it's not. So I think it's important whenever you're dealing one, this is, you asked me for three. First is level set your expectations with AI, knowing that it's a tool. The second thing is that don't overwhelm yourself with trying to do every single new AI tool. I think I did early on. I think early on, like December, January of last year, I'm like, this stuff is so cool. I'm going to learn all of it. And then I come across like futuretools.co or like Futurepedia, and they're listing 500, 1,000 new AI tools a day. And it very quickly becomes overwhelming to be like, wow, I literally cannot keep up with it. And so there's a few sources that I really like to listen to, like Isar, I love his podcast. Kurt, I love his podcast. I love your podcast. There's really good newsletters. Chris Penn does a phenomenal, I think it's called Almost Timely newsletter. And those are better sources, in my opinion, to find potential new tools. So don't feel like you have to race to learn every single new AI tool that comes out. Frankly, learning two or three really good ones and knowing how to use them really is superior to trying to learn a bunch of new ones. That'd be my second thing. And then my third piece of advice that I'm getting from my community, which is not going to be surprising, but it bears repeating here, is that AI is just a tool. It will never replace, never, ever replace the power and the meaning and the value of human relationships. I know that there's a lot of AI boyfriends and girlfriends you can download on Apple, but I will tell you, you spend a week with them, it is not going to be the same as being with a real human. And for me, I don't worry too much of a situation where we're forgetting our human roots because in favor of AI friends. It doesn't matter how many beautiful, shiny AI tools you have. Doesn't matter how well you use them. If you don't have a network that supports you in this day and age, then I don't really know what you have. Because I don't know if you've noticed, Mark, but the world looks like it's been shaved by a drunk barber. So it's tough. And when you have things like October 7th of last year happen, and you look at all the crazy stuff that happens in the world all the time, earthquakes, even not even human related, I think back to Fred Rogers. Remember Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? And he says that whenever he feels really daunted by how dark the world can seem and how sad news is, his mother told him to look for the helpers. Don't look at the people running out of the building that's on fire. Don't look at the flames. Don't look at the pain and the destruction. Look at the people running in to save others. And for me, that's my community. So when I feel really distraught about the state of politics, the fact that people can't have simple conversations with each other, the fact that there's kids that won't even talk to each other because they're on opposite sides of the political spectrum, that's sad to me. But then I look over and I see people like Rain Shimizu Smith. And I see people like Patty Kettle. And I see people like you, Mark. And that's what keeps me going, because y'all are the people running in. It doesn't matter what the world looks like. You're just going to keep running in and do good things. That's what this is all about. So don't get hung up on the AI and forget your humanity. That'd be my third point. I'm long-winded. I'm Southern. You're going to get all sorts of things. You never know what's going to pop out of my mouth, Mark. I tell you what.
No, I love it. Those are great pieces of advice. And I know I've been there with the trying to learn all the tools. I was just helping my mom with her iPad, and she's a speech language pathologist. So at one point she downloaded like hundreds of tools to try first to use in therapy. Now I feel like it's easy to get overwhelmed. And I'm of a similar sentiment that for me, I'm all in on ChatGPT as something that I think it'll evolve, but it'll be here. So that's one that I'd like to continue to reinvest my time into learning. It has image capabilities, but I know there's others like Midjourney that do a better job. So there's another one that if you had something that was an image specialization one, that would be a good one to probably sink your teeth into. But you may not need another text-based one other than ChatGPT right now. Like I tried Notion AI or their Q&A, which it's powered by ChatGPT. So you're doubling up on generative text. And I just didn't really see yet I love Notion's ability to organize information very easily and you can have it right inside. But I'm so used to now using ChatGPT that it feels like that's the environment I want to work in, right?
Yeah, it's your workflows.
You get in a habit of doing things a certain way. So your point about the tool overwhelm, I definitely know how you feel with that. And that is great advice because it can be overwhelming. Like there's no question that you also, as a business owner, run into a stacking of subscription costs that if you're not careful, you're like, no, every AI tool is at least $8 a month after their 1 week trial or what have you, which they're great business models, but responsibly speaking, you can't practically have subscriptions to everything. You need to pick your spots.
That's right. Be choosy. And then get Rocket Money to help you identify which things you accidentally signed up for and you forgot about. That happens to me. That's why I have Rocket Money. Great app. It identifies all your subscriptions and your recurring costs. I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot. I did subscribe to Rewardful. My bad. then you go and cancel it.
That's, I don't have that, but thank you for bringing that up. Rocket Money. I'll be sure to get that
service. I love that.
On the topic of like apps you love and things, it doesn't necessarily need to be AI, but AI is cool to talk about. What do you really love as far as tools that make your business more productive, better?
I want to mention Descript is a fantastic tool. It's, and they've done a lot of improvements on it even since I started using it back in, July. So essentially what it does is that there's a couple different things. You can do recordings. One neat feature that it does is maybe slightly creepy, but it is neat. Say you have a document and you just are teleprompt and you want to read and your eyes are going like this, right? I'm a person who can usually read and sound conversational. So that's important. You have to be able to do that. But it will automatically adjust your eyes to the camera so it doesn't look like you have horrible eye contact. And it doesn't do it in a creepy way. Because even when you're talking, I especially do this. When I talk, I do this. I'm thinking with my eyeball. So it doesn't completely make you look and sound like a robot, which I like. It also does some really neat things where it will help pull out good snackable content. It'll take your and actually put it into a transcript and then help you find really good pieces that you can then pull back out and reuse in clips and social media. I really like that. In terms of meeting notes, there's a lot of AI note takers. Gosh, there's Fathom, there's Otter, a bunch of other ones I can't think off the top. I think even Zoom has been working on creating one that's built in the product. The one I prefer is
Re.ai. It's about time for Zoom.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Get on it. I really like the AI app. I think that one's quite good. I like the way it's structured. And if anything, it struggles with trying to provide you with too many flashy tools that aren't exactly useful. Because I'm a one-person business, I don't really need to know like how inclusive my language is because I can't coach myself. I can coach myself, but it's not, I can imagine that being maybe helpful for a manager with a team of customer service people, right? Not necessarily something I can use. But I like Read AI quite a lot. And then I do love Midjourney. In fact, even people don't know this, but they actually have their own magazine. It's $4 a month and I subscribe. Not only are the pictures just so amazing, but they also have these really great interviews with AI creators, which is what I find to be particularly interesting. So I like to hear how people are using this technology. Midjourney is an interesting one.
So cool.
I like it. It's, you brought up an interesting, we touched on it, that it's not the most user-friendly. I don't think that they're bothered with that right now. Like, they're actually impossible to get in touch with. I tried to get in touch with anyone at Midjourney to come to Impact or even to get a bulk, because I wanted to get bulk buy of magazines and have them sent to our participants, but you can't even do that. So they're just an interesting model to watch, and they are creating incredible tech. And in my opinion, DALL-E can't come close to the good images that Midjourney can create. It does depend on how well versed you are with prompting within Midjourney, because the quality of the prompt makes a huge difference. So not the most user-friendly, but worth, in my opinion, taking the time to learn it. So those are the ones that I like so far. And I did on my LinkedIn page, I did 2023 Haley's Highlights, and I listed like the best books I've read from 2023 and the best podcasts, of which I shouted out to you, my friend, and also some really great AI tools. So go check that out if you want more good advice on really great AI tools and stuff. So it's fun. I love this stuff.
Cool.
It's so fun.
I can't wait to check out that list. Descript or Descript, depending on how. Oh, what happened there? Can you? Oh,
yeah.
My window just changed. Not sure why. I use that tool. I did not know, and I do love it. I did not know that it helps you call out sections.
Yeah. And also helps you identify speakers. Say sometimes we'll record our thought leadership roundtable because there's some really good snackable stuff in there. And it can help you identify like everything that George said. And as in conversations, you don't necessarily speak in complete sentences, or there's mumbles and just the natural of speaking. And there are times that you maybe mispronounce a word. So there are things that you can go in, train your AI, the AI on your voice, and it will go in and actually update that snackable bit with the correction, which is neat, creepy.
Yeah, I think they call it overdub or overdubbing or, yeah. I love that you can make those kinds of corrections. Curious, do you remember what it's called where it highlights what?
No, I don't know if you can do it in the in the desktop version. If you go to their main website, log in, and you go to their lab, it's one of the more beta features that they're testing. And actually, to be fair with you, I haven't used it in a minute, so they may have discontinued it, if maybe there was a reason why they couldn't do it. But I remember thinking, why isn't this in the desktop version? Because this is great. But it's if you go to the Descript and you go to the labs, that one's pretty cool. Oh, and then actually another one that does like labs. I love when they do that because then you can really experiment. And they're already letting you know this isn't going to work perfectly, but they're letting you experiment with it, which is fun. I like doing that. Runway ML is really good in terms of literally taking AI, generating AI videos. That one's pretty phenomenal and just fun. I find it hard to control. So like a lot of times you wind up with a bunch of random stuff that's not exactly usable, but what's created is beautiful. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could figure out a way to use it. So if you're an artist or a videographer, I think it could be one of those things you can learn to prompt it. But yeah, there's so many great tools. And I know that there's more that I'm not even mentioning that because I haven't tried it yet. And so if people are, your listeners are interested in trying to find new ones, I would say Product Hunt is a great website to go to see some of the neat things that are new and upcoming, or future. I think that's futurepedia.org, or just type in Futurepedia in Google and you'll find it. And that has a lot of user reviews as well with use cases. So it's a very nicely done website in trying to help you determine what is the best AI tool for you. Just don't get overwhelmed. It's easy. It's like being the kid in the candy shop and being spoiled for choice and being like, I don't know if I want a Hershey's. I don't know if I want it to do. I don't know what I'm doing. And if you do get overwhelmed, just know, boo, we've been there. It's human. It's okay. You'll get through it.
There's definitely a kind of like the shiny object syndrome, the shiny tool syndrome, right? Where they all look so great. I know I'm going to use this a million times. And then after that fun couple days, you may not use it for the month, but your subscription has started and you forgot about it.
That's why I got to get Rocket Money. And I'm not even an affiliate or anything of them. They have saved me so much money because they've been able to say, oh gosh, I spent $49 on that tool I haven't used in 2 months. I need to go cancel that. And if that happens to you, don't feel bad. It happens to all of us, every single person, even my crazy brother-in-law, who is like about his expenses, has it happen to him. So when it happened to him, I was like, oh, phew, I'm off the hook. Because if it can happen to him, it can happen to anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. What else? This has been such a fun conversation. You are amazing and I love your energy. What else would you like to share that you haven't had a chance to yet?
I just want to reiterate that Impact is a very open community, whether you are a developer who's been like, if you're someone like Kate Bradley-Sherness and founder of Lately.ai, and you've been doing this for a long time, there is a home for you here. Or if you're someone who's not even gone into the AI world, there's a home for you here. I say that every single person has a seat at our table. And I know that with the world as busy and crazy and as quickly as it changes, does feel like time is speeding up, that it's easy to turtle. It's easy to put your head in the sand or your shell and hope that it will go away. But I'm telling you, that is not the answer. It's just going to get harder. So the best way forward, I believe, is through community. And I'd like to offer that as a fairy godmother of AI. That's what we have at Impact. And that doesn't just mean you as a business person or a professional, but you as the whole individual. A big part of what we do is help people navigate through this ambiguity. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what's going to happen. In fact, my track record for predicting the future is not good. So I've learned not to try, because I know that God, the universe, the source, whatever you want to call that entity out there, loves to make a fool out of me. Loves it. And it's a good thing I've got a good sense of humor about it. All of that to say that we're here. We're here for you, Mark. We're here for your listeners. And if you guys would like to be part of the Impact community, we have a seat for you at our table. Come check our website out. Reach out to me through email, through LinkedIn. Join one of our round tables. Join our great debates. If you would like to be a tester of our tester club and get an advanced chance to look at tools that haven't gone out to market yet, usually they're AI, but not always, then let me know. We love to have a really healthy list of potential testers for our developers and founders to choose from to be able to have a really successful listening session. So lots of really cool things going on. And I'm just excited to be here, man. The world is a crazy, weird place to be right now, but I'm happy that I'm here. And I'm happy I know you, Mark. This is fun. So let's do some more of this.
I am so happy you're here, and thank you so much. Before we wrap up, I ask everyone about their experience with ChatGPT. What do you use it for? How frequently do you use it?
Oh, I use it every single day. There is not a thing that I haven't used it for in some regard, even if it's just to test it out. In my free time, I paint, do quite a little bit of painting. And I was struggling with one of my paintings. I was doing some Christmas presents, and I took a picture of what I had painted, and I said, help me figure out ways to develop the water better, whatever it was, and draw me illustration of how to do that. And I'm going to tell you, it was really helpful. So even as an artist, I find it really helpful to just be a guide. Now, I'm not going to always use all of that. I've used it when I'm trying to think of some of the more bizarre ways I've used it. I was dating a nerdy guy for a little bit who liked to talk to me in binary code. So 01011100000. And so I would just copy and paste that into ChatGPT, get a translation, and have it write back something that I can send to him in binary code. It's your imagination. And luckily I've got a lot of that. It's just, I think that people think that ChatGPT is supposed to replace a lot of the work that they do. And I think that's the wrong way to approach it. I just think of it as having a really curious, very eager to please intern at my beck and call. And sometimes it comes up with some really amazing things. And sometimes it's really disappointing. And that's okay. So yeah, I use it for a lot of things, a lot. It's really great when you're trying to come up with some cute pickup lines too. That's always fun. Sometimes I'll put in a letter.
That's hilarious.
My grandma writes me an email that's really long, and then I'll put in and say, hey, you have my voice, ChatGPT. Can you just write her a letter back and give her updates about XYZ and whatever it is? And it will give me a pretty nice letter that I can adapt for my purposes to be able to send to my grandma. She doesn't know the difference. And all she thinks is I just wrote her a 3-page letter. Now, oh, how nice that is. And so it's these little ways to surprise and delight. It's fun.
I love that. The little ways ChatGPT can surprise and delight. I play guitar, and one of my first applications was just testing it on writing songs. Something that's text-based and usually can take quite a lot of time to get things to just rhyme or maybe come up with an idea. And for art, I think everything we create at some point is not just going to be us. It's going to be us plus AI in some way. There's going to be, not always, right? But more and more, whether it's a book or anything textual, it's likely that AI's touched it. That fusion of creativity with this powerful, insightful tool, I'm very excited to see what people come up with. And I love that Midjourney book. I think that's something that I'd like to get my hands on and leaf through. So I'll let out for sure.
Look, it's thick. It's really in good quality.
It looks like it. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So I would definitely advise, and I think it's good to support them even if they're off doing their own thing. The proof is in the pudding and the things that they create. And we talked about one other good thing I'll say about ChatGPT. This may be slightly more serious of a use case. The sure. Biden administration came out with new rules around classifications of whether an employee or contractor. And a lot of that is to get at the abuses of Uber and Lyft, and I totally get that. But as a small business owner, that it frightens me. It feels a little bit of an overreach. And so I was putting my thoughts and my emotions and why I was feeling a certain way into ChatGPT. I gave ChatGPT a few different articles, one that was pretty left-leaning, one that was pretty right-leaning, because I feel like you have to do that to balance stuff out. And I would say, help me articulate my concerns. Because sometimes you don't know how you really feel about it until you see something written down. And it did a really good job of articulating. When I read it, I'm like, yeah, that's how I feel. Oh, yeah. Oh, good job, ChatGPT. And then to check myself, because I don't think you should just, and this is the challenge that people have, I think, you don't just go with what's comfortable and what feels right. You also have to challenge yourself. So then my reply to is, that's phenomenal, ChatGPT. Now give me the opposite of opinion. Give me the arguments against what I'm saying and for the rules. And it was really helpful for me to get a full context of the argument. And then I still hold a lot of my initial feelings and opinions, but now I know why I have those feelings and I had that reaction. And I posted about it on LinkedIn yesterday. It went over like a lead balloon. I didn't get any comments or comment likes, which is a little unusual, but I think that's because people don't like to touch politics on LinkedIn, and that's fine. That's fair. But the point is, I was prepared to have a conversation should someone want to engage with me and debate with me about it, which I'm all about. I love that. I don't learn anything by hearing myself talk. Not usually, sometimes, but not usually. And so I find ChatGPT is a good prep for that. So if you're going to do a great debate, it's really smart to put in your arguments into ChatGPT and then ask for it to argue with you. It's a really great devil's advocate. So that's another use case that I find is pretty good for ChatGPT. Very long-winded explanation.
I would tend to agree. Yeah, helping you see another perspective from what is arguably an unbiased, you can give it any bias you want to position against whatever you believe. So that's a great example. I like to have ChatGPT ask me questions about things to help me think through things, or interview me about topics, quizzing on certain something you're studying. I love a great question, I guess is what I'm saying.
I'm telling you, you need to join my thought leadership roundtable. You're going to love it because we talk about all sorts of
stuff.
Well,
I can't wait to.
Sometimes I do put some of the things that we talk about in ChatGPT. And so it's fun to see what ChatGPT has to say about it. But yeah, it's open invitation. It's an open round table. Very Uber nerd kind of kingdom. But again, that is the highest compliment I can give someone. If you're an Uber nerd, you're going to be just fine. Yeah.
Well, I think I'll fit right in.
For sure.
Okay, Haley, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for making some time today and sharing everything that you've learned up to this point in your life with us in only an hour. And I look forward to our next conversation and participating in your groups.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. I've really enjoyed this and look forward to collaborating with you more in the future. Have a good rest of your day.
Have a wonderful day. Cheers. That was great, Haley. Thank you so much.
Yay, thank you.